This is Living the RV Dream episode number 5 for April 21st, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, and welcome one more time to the Living the RV Dream podcast. Today I'm coming to you from location here at a beautiful Key Largo. We are at the Point of View RV Resort, one of the RV parks that I mentioned in the previous episodes that was closing down soon. You know, they're already doing construction. It seems like they're going to do some condominium or some kind of resort. I really don't know. But anyways, I want to first of all apologize for last episode. I obviously had too much coffee, and I ran out of time, and I forgot even to put the song of the day or even mention our friends at Reno Viola Radio, which rebroadcast, you know, stream the podcast on their network. But we'll be having a pretty nice time here. You know, for all time's sake, this was one of our, not our favorite campground, but it was a fairly new campground. So everything, you know, all the facilities, everything worked perfectly. They had decent Wi-Fi. You know, the sewer connection had the screw in, so you wouldn't have a chance to have any accidents. Everything was brand new and very nice, but obviously it's going to be more profitable for the property owners to have a resort here. So no more campgrounds, and that's one of the problems we've been having camping here down in the Keys. Every year, every time, we're going to have less and less choices, which means less supply, more demand. Everything is going to get more expensive, even as expensive as the Keys already are. As you know, it's nearly impossible to find vacancy in the state parks. And we're going to try. We're going to try to get into the state parks pretty soon, but it is very hard. By the way, while we were down here, we met with fellow YouTubers, and now our new friends, Paul and Lorena, and their YouTube channel is The Motorhome Experiment, and they started full-time in recently. They have a gas Class A motorhome, and they've been traveling. They're originally from Las Vegas, and they've been traveling through Texas, Louisiana, you know, and now they're down here in Florida at the Florida Keys, and now they're going back north. And I asked them if this was going to be like an indefinite trip for them, and apparently they like it so much that they don't have an end in sight at this point. So be sure to check out that video when I post it, which is going to be about the Key Largo and Isla Morada, which is where we met them. We had a nice lunch at Isla Morada Fish Company, which is part of the Bass Pro Shops conglomerate. But it was very nice, very cool. Anyways, I hope you can hear me okay here at on location. I'm overlooking this beautiful view of the Bayside, or Gulf Side. What is it called? Bayside of the Florida Keys, and there's a bunch of sailboats, and very nice. And as you know, some RVers have have moved into sailboats, and that's nothing we are thinking of doing anytime soon. But it's very nice. They're anchored right here, right in front of us. By the way, in the last episode, I spoke about some of the upgrades that I had done to the RV, and there are many other like tiny little upgrades, like I put a mirror on the bathroom door. My RV didn't come with a TV, so I bought a TV and put it in. Although we hardly ever use it, because if we have internet, we hardly ever really watch TV. We have to be like really bored to crank up the antenna and watch something over the air. Other upgrades that I've done, you know, what everybody does, I've put hooks here and there, and I have to put even more hooks. Maybe I'll put two or three more hooks in the bathroom, so when we are in a place like this where we've been at the pool, so we have like wet bathing suits, we can hang them there, because it's too windy this weekend to hang them outside by the awning. I have a couple of future upgrades, especially since we are going to do a road trip in the summer to see the Great American Eclipse, and we're going to be boondocking for a couple of nights for sure, and it's going to be August, so you know it's going to be hot. So one of the upgrades I've been thinking of doing is finally biting the bullets and getting a generator. And those, you know, in order to run the AC, those could run anyway from just under $1,000 to $2,000, and I haven't really decided yet. There's a model by Champion, which seems to be very nice. It's both electrical and propane. And then you can go all the way up to, I'm sorry if you hear any wind noise, by the way. We can go all the way up to the Yamaha model, which is like $2,000, which is what the folks at Long Honeymoon use. So if you have guys have any suggestions, actually, do chime in, robert@travelingrobert.com, or send me a voicemail at the website. If you go to travelingrobert.com, there's a button on the top right-hand side where you can send me a voicemail, and I will play it here on the podcast. Another upgrade that I've been thinking of getting, since I already have the solar, is getting a good, a pure sine wave inverter. I even plan to go all the way to 3,000 watts. So in an emergency, if I also upgrade to a good battery, I could run the AC for a couple of minutes. And that would be great if we are like in a situation where it's really hot and we are unable to run the generator and we want to have some air conditioning. And the third option is a battery. I'm thinking of getting at least a good AGM battery to replace the 80 amp hour battery that came stock with RRB, which I'm sure by now it's not nearly close to 80 amp. It's probably 40 amp. I mean, if you run the refrigerator on battery, or you run the fantastic vent for long, or even the compressor to fill up the tires, it immediately says that it's low. So I have a feeling that either I had damaged it from discharging it too much, or that it's really not a very good battery, and it's already been 2.5 years, so there's a good chance that it could have died. By the way, yeah, it does have water inside. I checked. I've been maintaining it, but who knows. Anyways, now we are going to go to your feedback, where you get to be the star of the show, and here is your emails and voicemails. Okay, as you can probably tell by the sound quality, I am back in studio. I was actually toying around with the idea of using my mobile setup, you know, because eventually I want to do some on-location interviews, and I was actually hoping that you could hear the ambience sound at the location where I was, because, you know, you could hear the noise of the palm trees and the water right next to me. But apparently it's a very directional microphone, and it mostly captured my voice and some wind noise, unfortunately. Anyways, as of this recording, I don't have any voicemails this week, but I have a couple of emails. For example, Fred Lee says, Robert, good evening. I've been a listener of the podcast. My question to you, can you give me a good list of campgrounds in the Homestead, Miami area? We travel in a 40-foot Class A diesel pusher with a tow vehicle. Thanks, Fred Lee. And actually, I answered him personally, but I think it could be a subject that a lot of you could be interested in. And Miami, it's not the most RV-friendly city, to be honest about it. We have a boondocking place at the casino, at the Miccosukee Casino, right at the in the outskirts of the city. But that's like an overnight stay. If you want to stay like at a nice RV resort, I can recommend Miami Everglades. I've been there. We shot a video. It's very nice. The sites are pretty big, pretty spacious, and it will be the place that I would recommend if you have a big diesel pusher or a large fifth wheel and you want to be within, you know, 20 minutes of traffic permitting. Of course, the Miami traffic is notoriously bad, but on a good day you could be 20 minutes, half an hour from downtown Miami, maybe a little more if you want to go to Miami Beach. But that would be my choice, and you are also relatively close to the Florida Keys. So there you go, Miami Everglades. There is also Southern Comfort RV Resort right at Florida City. But that one, in my opinion, was a little run down. And also you have Larry and Penny Thompson State Park. No, it's not a state park. It's a county park, which is very close to Miami Everglades, but that's a state park. It's a little cheaper, but the sites are a little smaller, if memory serves. So there you go. Oh, by the way, Miami Everglades is an Encore property, so if you are a Thousand Trails member, I think you get a discount if you camp there. I've got another email from Frank and Shelley. Thank you so much for keeping my favorite podcast alive. You are doing an amazing job. Thank you very much. I've also watched most of your YouTube videos. Well, that's a lot of patience you have, by the way. I am just starting in digital video, and I appreciate your info on this topic. Keep up the good work, Frank and Shelley. And about digital video, well, it's a very broad subject. So if you want to elaborate, you can shoot me another video at Robert at travelingrobert.com. But in a nutshell, all you need is a decent video camera. In fact, I use two video cameras. A lot of vloggers nowadays use a DSLR, you know, like a large DSLR with a boom mic, with this, they call it a dead cat, you know, which is this fluffy thing. So the boom mic doesn't get all the wind noise. To be honest, I don't complicate my life so much. I do have one nice camcorder, which I actually, about a year ago, I upgraded to a 4K camcorder, because a lot of people still don't have 4K capabilities, but I want to be future-proof. So I want to be able to have videos that will still look great 5-10 years from now. So it's a regular camcorder, nothing fancy, you know, with a nice zoom lens and a variable speed zoom lens. So if you want to zoom in and out, you can do those slow artistic zooms. My second camera is an action camera. My main one used to be a GoPro for many, many years, and recently I got the Sony 4K, the X3000 action camera by Sony, and it's fantastic. It has a very wide angle. It's virtually indestructible, and it has a very good wide angle lens, because a lot of wide angle cameras, they tend to distort around the edges, and it's not a very pleasant image, but this one is fantastic. Another great feature of this camcorder, of both cameras, the action camera and the camcorder, is the optical image stabilization. Actually, if you look at it, if you move the camera up and down or right to left, the lens kind of wobbles inside the housing. And it's fantastic, the stabilization. And that's great. Sometimes I look at some of my older videos and I cringe when I look at the shaky image. The action cam, actually, another great thing that it has is the microphone. If you want to do a vlog like I do sometimes, you know, talking in front of the lens, like a selfie kind of video, and you talk, the audio quality is fantastic, and you're going to hear it in an interview that I'm going to play in a couple of minutes here. Oh, by the way, the regular camcorder, if you want to check it out, is the Sony FDR-AX33, and the X3000 will be the action cam. I will put links to all of this in the show notes. Of course, you want to edit all that video. And if you're really new at this, I would recommend on a Mac, I would recommend iMovie. And on a PC, Adobe Premiere Elements. Those two, especially iMovie, is very, very user-friendly, very, very low learning curve. If you want to, you know, get a little more professional once you get your feet wet in video editing on a Mac, Final Cut Pro X is an excellent, very easy to use, very fast product. That's what I use. And on PC, the industry standard nowadays is Adobe Premiere. So that's it for video, for digital video production. If you have any other questions, please send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, or do click on that link on the website, Traveling Robert, where it says send voicemail. I have another message from Jim McKay. If you are looking for a subject to discuss on this show, I am an RV inspector and I do inspections on RVs for folks who are buying and selling RVs. I have included my website above if you want to review it. Be sure to look at photos and some RV issues. Enjoy the podcast and keep the good work, Jim. And this is a subject that interests me quite a bit, because at some point I want to become an RV inspector myself. That's one of the career changes that I have been envisioning, if and when we become full-timers. That would be a way to generate extra income, I think. And I think it is very, very important, especially if you're purchasing a used RV, and even a new RV, because as we know, they don't put them together in the factory the way they should most of the time. I think it's essential that you get an RV inspection if you are buying or even selling a used RV, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong over the years. You have, you know, roof leaks, you can have structural damage, what have you. And here's the website. It's called crushedarmadilloconsulting.com. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. That's a free plug, by the way. And RV inspections are very important. I might even have an interview or two in the future on this subject. As I mentioned earlier, this weekend I also met up with fellow YouTube creators, and they're a very, very nice couple. He's from north of the border originally, from our friends to the north, Canada, and she is from south of the border, Mexico. And they met and they've been living in Las Vegas for a long time, and eventually they decided to get an RV and start full-timing. And I had a chance to do a very, very quick interview on video when we met up at Isla Morada in the Keys. And here's that interview. Do forgive the audio quality, because this was shot on the action cam. But, and as I said, the action camera has a great microphone for this type of thing, but it's never the same as a dedicated microphone, you know, at a short distance from your subject. Okay, without further preamble, an interview with Paul and Lorena of the Motorhome Experiment. Hello, everybody. We're here at the Isla Morada Fish Company in Isla Morada, Florida. And guess who's here?
Hello.
Paul and Lorena at the Motorhome Experiment.
Yep. What's going on?
So whatever possessed you guys to move into a motorhome and leave your nice house in Vegas?
It was her fault.
Her fault?
Yeah. No, it was not my fault. It's actually, he's the one that brought up the idea. I was not on board. That's why the Motorhome Experiment, because it was an experiment for me.
Yeah, it's more, she's the experiment. Yeah. It was my idea. She left me alone, and when she leaves me alone,
that's it.
You know, the brain starts
so
working.
Are you planning on doing this indefinitely, or do you have like a set goal to see like...
We started with 1 year.
She gave me 1 year.
And then I was like, well, we cannot see this huge country in 1 year. So I gave him 2 years. And now that we're on the road, I was like, yeah, you know what? Maybe a little bit longer. So, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah. Whenever you get tired of it, then you'll...
We're waiting for you to get out there full time.
Sometime soon. Yeah. Sometime soon we'll have... Because my goal is to see the lower 48 by the time I'm 48.
There you go. Hey, I like
Hawaii,
that.
I don't know. But at least the lower 48. And I have Alaska already, so I just need... I'm halfway there.
Very cool.
And I have just 1 or 2 years, so I have to hurry up.
Nice. Very cool.
All right. Well, we're going to have some lunch now, and
absolutely,
then we'll be back. Well, that's it for our impromptu interview with Paul and Lorena of the Motorhome Experiment. I'll put a link to their YouTube channel in the show notes. And we had a great time having lunch together. We spent a couple of hours, you know, exchanging stories, tales from the road. And it was great. It is always great to meet other travelers or viewers or listeners while we are on the road. And if it sounds like we are all over the place here, well, we are all over the place. This is probably my least rehearsed episode of Living the RV Dream podcast. And since we are in the Florida Keys, I thought that our destination of the week, and I do want to have a destination of the week, and some episodes are just going to be the whole episode about a destination. But the destination of this week, what better place than the Florida Keys, and in this case, Key Largo. And I want to talk to you guys about this state park in Key Largo. It is John Pennekamp State Park, and it's an absolutely fantastic state park. I haven't actually been able to camp there because it is very, very difficult to find reservations, especially on weekends. But I was there a couple of years ago, and we took a glass-bottom boat tour that goes all the way out to the coral reef, and that's a boat tour that you have to take. It is absolutely fantastic. They have very knowledgeable park rangers, and they go out into Biscayne National Park, which is probably uniquely the one national park which is entirely underwater. And they talk about the coral reef and all the wildlife and all the different fish that you can find out there. It's a tour that I fully recommend. There's also, you know, kayaking out there, and you can also take a snorkeling tour where they take you also to the reef, and they have a statue of Jesus Christ on the cross down there, and you can and snorkel down there, and lots of wildlife. I haven't done that one yet, but I can't wait to do it in the near future. And when I do, you'll be the first to know, and I'll tell you all about it here in the podcast as well as in the YouTube channel. And we are reaching almost the end of the podcast, and you might ask why I am keeping a hard stop at 26 minutes with the podcast. That is because we are being rebroadcast. We are being streamed also by WRVO Radio Network 1. And here's a word from them.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Okay, we're back, and I'm actually recording this on a different day, and since we last spoke, I have been able to make a reservation at Jumpanicamp State Park in Key Largo, Florida, so after all, I am going to be able to do that snorkeling tour of the coral reef, and we're gonna do some kayaking, and this, I'm really looking forward to it, and you guys are going to be the first to know, because I'm gonna record an episode right after that, of course. In a little bit of sad news, Kathy Huggins, as I record this, Kathy Huggins is undergoing open heart surgery. So if you are a praying person, now is the time. Changing the subject a little bit, in order to enjoy the great outdoors and traveling around the country, we should also be aware of our safety. And one of the main issues with RVs is to avoid a fire in your RV. As you know, the RV has mine, for example, has an aluminum frame and some fiberglass, but pretty much everything else in there is flammable. You know, it's all cardboard and wood and plastic. So it is a real issue. When a fire starts in your RV, it takes literally sometimes less than a minute before the RV is totaled. So you should know your trouble spots. And one of the main sources of RV fires is your absorption refrigerator. As you know, if you are running it on propane, there's an open flame there all the time. And most RV fires begin there. Actually, I'm going to read to you from this article I found on RV Share, blog.rvshare.com. And they talk about how to avoid a fire in your RV. And that's the first subject. Know your trouble spots. Whether you own a Class A, a Class B, or a Class V, a travel trailer, fifth wheel, or camper, for safety, you need to know the most likely trouble spots, and these are the areas where RV's fires can start. The fridge and the engine are at the top of the list. Electrical shocks in the coach can also contribute to sudden flames, and combustibles like curtains, towels, paper plates, and simple grease fires can start in the kitchen. You should have the right kind of fire extinguisher. And as you know, there are several kinds. And actually, nowadays they have something called an automatic extinguisher. So you can install this, and these units usually are installed in the basement or the storage compartment of the coach. Cold fire extinguishers remain connected with your engine bay. Automatic extinguishers provide extra safety in case of an RV fire. Prepare an exit strategy, of course. You need to know your fastest way to exit the RV, and also always have like a bag with the essential things that you are going to need, you know, a credit card and your documents and stuff like that. Know where to turn things off. Everyone in your party should know how to unhook the electricity and close the propane valves. They should know where the fire extinguishers are and how to turn them on and off, which is something I should do. Because I never tried mine, believe it or not. Actually, that's a good thing that I haven't needed to try mine. When traveling, spend time getting to know your location and the neighbors who could help in an emergency. If you have access to a phone, are you parked amongst the underbrush of trees, etc.? Install fire alarms and CO detectors. I believe all RVs nowadays come by law. They have to have a fire alarm and a CO detector. Practice unhooking in a hurry, although I think that if you have a fire, you're not gonna be able to unhook in time. Well, anyways, those are some of the measures you should take in order to avoid a fire in your RV. And we are running out of time here. By the way, this weekend I'm going to be at the Kissimmee Prairie State Park here in Florida, in Central Florida, and it's supposed to be one of the best places to watch the stars at night. So I'll tell you all about it in the next episode. The song of the day since we started the episode in the Florida Keys, well, is the song that I wrote for one of my Key West trips, and it is called, most appropriately, Key West. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.
Key West. Whistle.